Welcome to Innovation. Good afternoon, South Dakota. I'm Kara Hetland. Thanks so much for being here. We're going to spend the first part of this program talking about Batten disease. It is a rare neurological disorder, and the impact is not good.
Yep, ultimately fatal.
Dr. Jill Weimer is with me now. So I'm going to have you explain what this is, and then we're going to bring on a couple of parents whose children are diagnosed with this disease.
Excellent. So, well, thanks for having us, Kara. Batten's disease is a disease. It's actually a collective family of diseases. There's about 14 different forms, and each form is caused by a different mutation in a different gene. And sort of when you look at the family of diseases collectively, really the primary difference is the age of onset for the patients and how rapidly they progress. So there's infantile, late infantile, juvenile, and adult forms. So the disease that we're talking about today is called CLN6 Batten's disease. So it's one of those variants. It's very rare. Worldwide, probably less than 1 in 100,000 patients have this form of Batten's disease. And to give you kind of the time course, and I think that Brian and Beth will be able to tell us a little bit more about their specific case, but usually the kids start to have some motor coordination and usually some cognitive issues around the age of 4 to 5. That deteriorates, their motor skills deteriorate, their language skills deteriorate. In the later stages of the disease, and when they're 6, 7, 8, they start to have seizures, they become wheelchair bound, and ultimately this disease is fatal.
Okay. Okay. But your lab is working on treatment.
Correct. Correct. Okay. So in partnership with a California-based foundation called the Charlotte and Gwyneth Gray Foundation, about a year and a half ago, actually almost 2 years ago, we partnered with them to take a almost unprecedented approach to developing therapies for CLN6 Batten's disease. The Gray family have, Charlotte and Gwyneth are two little girls that suffer from CLN6 Batten's disease. And ultimately they said, we're going to throw the kitchen sink at this. We want everybody working in partnership and collaborating with different scientists, and we're going to pursue every possible type of treatment in combination, all at the same time. We knew going into it that gene therapy, where essentially we would replace the defective gene, was going to be sort of the thing that we could move the fastest with. So in the fall of 2015, we partnered with a group at Nationwide Children's to just start to develop a gene therapy for CLN6 Batten disease.
Okay. And so you're in the clinical trial stage.
We are. Yep. So we actually normally just, and I want to kind of throw this out there because something remarkable happened by partnering these labs together. Normally to go from drug development, from the early stages of screening, maybe a mouse model of the disease, through the preclinical testing and going to the FDA to get approval to start a clinical trial takes about 5 to 7 years to accomplish that. And the Gray said, our children will be dead by the time we get to that point. And so, you know, the scientists agreed we're going to give this everything we can. And we actually were able to achieve the almost impossible within 8 months and get FDA approval to start a clinical trial.
Okay. Brian and Beth live in Shakopee, Minnesota. And thanks for coming on the program today and telling us your story. Welcome.
Sure. Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about Blake and Brett and how this first came about and how you were diagnosed.
Sure. And I have my wife, Beth, on the phone here, too, to spot check me because I have a tendency to get mixed up on dates. But, you know, it was about, 2 years ago, around his 4th birthday, you know, we were in to his pediatrician and we were talking about, you know, getting Blake in some occupational therapy, right? Because we were seeing, you know, his fine motor skills were, you know, could use some improvement. So we went, you know, down the path of therapy. And as time went on, you know, months went by, then we started, you know, speech therapy because we were noticing that he was, you know, struggling on, you know, pronunciating words or getting the word out. So then, you know, a few more months went by. So now we're at about a year and a half ago. We had another baby, and that's baby Brett. And you know, with a baby, it brings in all sorts of other fun stuff where you're like, okay, well, maybe Blake is not doing so well with the new baby at home. So, you know, we keep going down the therapy path, and Blake was at the YMCA in the preschool program there. He moved rooms, and he seemed to be getting along. And then, you know, we noticed that he was starting to have some challenges with gross motor skills, right? And that was, you know, probably spring of 2016. So as parents, we're like, okay, we'll do PT. So, you know, as time went on, things just kept getting worse and worse and worse to the point where, as parents, we're just dumbfounded by what can we do to help our son. We weren't at an emergency perspective yet, but as summer of 2016 came around, we did find ourselves at the Minnesota Children's Hospital in the ER because we were he was just having unexplained periods of just checking out. Left there with, a clinical it's not a diagnosis, but they described it as ataxia. We worked with neurology, did MRIs, EEGs, all this stuff. We still didn't know. And then, you know, it was about fall of 2016, we started to approach genetics testing. And, you know, with Blake, we, you know, in September, I mean, we went from a boy that was in preschool to us pulling him out of preschool because he just wasn't thriving. And he was really, something was drastically wrong, right? We took him to the Mayo Clinic ER, just literally just begging for help, right? We finally got the genetics testing results back and found out it was Batten's, specifically CLN6, and then immediately started down the path of seeking this trial.
And then did you automatically have the baby tested, or did you have to wait for signs?
Well, you know, we kind of hesitated a little bit. Because there's, you know, as parents, there's only so much bad news that you can deal with at a time, right? So our primary focus was getting Blake into the trial, you know, getting him registered. And as I'd say about a month after, we did do genetics testing for Brett too. And the ironic part was when we got the PDF file, we were looking at it, and the only thing difference in the diagnosis was their name, right? It was the exact same sheet of paper. And maybe Beth, you can elaborate on how you felt when you seen that.
Your heart stops. You know, you struggle to get one diagnosis, and then you have a baby at the time, 9 months, and it's the same exact diagnosis. So you go from this moment of joyfulness to the possibility that can be taken away from you. It's a heart-wrenching moment to read that. It was just heart-wrenching at the point in time.
And then you need to step up and fight for your children's lives.
That's correct.
Exactly. And Beth and I, you know, we did everything that we could possibly do to get, you know, to improve our chances of getting, you know, Blake into the trial. And, you know, if it meant leaving a job, that's what we did. If it meant selling a car, that's what we did. Fundraising, you know, we've you know, done everything. You know, Blake has gone through the treatment in February, and you know, so we, you know, we're very thankful for that, and very hopeful with what we're seeing in Blake. You know, versus what we were seeing in December and January, leading up to the treatment. Now, you know, 4 months post treatment, you know, there's a sigh of relief, right? You know, based on what we're seeing. However, you know, we're still we're still worried about Rhett. So that's on our minds daily.
So, Doctor, tell me what the treatment, describe the treatment.
Sure. So we use a common cold virus called adeno-associated virus. This particular form of adeno-associated virus, or AAV, is, we call it isotype 9. It's a form that most kids are not exposed to. So that's actually good. So before Blake went in, his blood was tested to make sure that he actually had not been exposed to the AAV9 virus previously, because if he had been, then he could have rejected this gene therapy treatment. So we use that virus, and we essentially, scientists are really good at manipulating things that occur in nature. We strip out the bad parts of the virus and we insert the CLN6 gene into that. We tested it first in mice to make sure that it was going to show improvements. We actually have phenomenal data showing that that in our mice that normally would die at about a year of age, they're still alive today, 20 months out. And so in the mouse model of CLN6 Batten's disease is giving wonderful, wonderful improvements. With the team at Nationwide Children's, the basic lab, they then take the virus and they test it in non-human primates and make sure that it's going to give good spread, because this disease affects many different parts of the brain, the spinal column, the eyes. And so we want to make sure that a single injection of the virus is actually getting to those different parts of the central nervous system. And it does in the primates and in the mice. At that point, once it goes to the FDA, we turn it over to the clinical team at Nationwide to run the clinical trial. So no one wants the basic scientists touching the children. at that point, they actually deliver the virus intrathecally through the spinal column. Nationwide uses a really unique technique where essentially the patients are placed on a tilt board to help pull the virus back into the brain. And from one single injection, they get that gene therapy. Hopefully that will integrate so it goes into the genome and hopefully will stay on and be expressed within the brain of the Batten's disease patients for their lifetime.
So that is how you replace a gene?
Correct. So essentially, it's the faulty gene is still there. This is putting in a good gene, I guess. So I shouldn't use the word replace, but we're getting the good gene in there.
Override?
So that correct. Yeah. Okay. So that it can do its job. And hopefully, you know, it's the brain. So as we all know, we can't really replace the neurons that have already died, but we can halt the disease in its tracks and strengthen the neurons that are already sick. And fortunately, because of the age that we're treating the kids, their brains are still plastic. They're still learning. And so all the parents are encouraged to get the kids back in school, get them engaged in activities, doing different things that are going to continue to strengthen those neurons that are there, so that they retain and hopefully build some additional skills, whether it's language skills, whether it's walking and talking and learning, to continue to improve those skills.
So then, Beth and Brian, it's back into therapy, so to speak, for Blake?
Blake is nonstop. Yep. Brian, I'll let you take it, because I know that you've been doing that full time now.
Yeah, we started, we actually got Blake approved for special services preschool before we had a diagnosis. So when he came back from Nationwide, we did start up preschool, and he was going, you know, two times a week, half days. And if you look at December, January, there would have never been a chance that I would have ever sent him anywhere. So that's awesome. And then also we resumed his OT, speech and physical therapy, immediately. And, you know, it's been 5 days a week. But every week we see little wins, and, it's a much better feeling than, things going the opposite direction.
So now you're rebuilding.
That's right.
Exactly.
And so Brett, has Brett shown signs of deterioration, or do you have to wait for those signs before you can do the treatment?
So the plan with Nationwide is we're sort of right now the trial's closed. So the initial trial was for 6 patients, and so we're going back and deciding sort of what our next steps will be for inclusion of additional patients, and so we hope to have those answers in the next few months, so we can kind of decide what the next steps are for the clinical trial with the team at Nationwide.
And this is an inherited disease.
Yep.
And
yep.
It's just the fluke.
Yep. The mutations that Brian and Beth, actually, they each carry one mutated copy of CLN6. Their mutations are different from one another. The chances that they found each other and both carried these mutations are probably 1,000,001. So it's just unfortunate. And one of the things that we have sort of at the front of our mind, too, is that they were fortunate that they do have a diagnosis for Brett pre-symptomatic. You know, there are children out there who are living with CLN6 at this point that we don't know about because Batten's disease is not included on the newborn screening panel. And so usually you have to have an effective treatment to include a gene on the newborn screening panel. Some states are more progressive about getting those added, but still, even after an approved treatment hits the market, it takes years to get those added. So, you know, even if the FDA approved this and everything went forward, say, in the next year with a CLN6 gene therapy for as effective treatment, it could be years before we have this added to the newborn screening panel. And parents are going to live through the same thing that Brian and Beth did, where, you know, they're as they explained, it was a year probably before they actually got a genetic diagnosis on what was wrong with Blake. And that's the same case with many, many Batten's disease families, that they struggle. They get an autism diagnosis or ataxia or, you know, depending on the symptoms, it can be years.
Because genetic testing isn't the first thing you
yep.
do.
Yeah, and there may be even genetic testing that they start with based on the symptoms. But because Batten's disease is this almost a spectrum in and of itself, that depending on the specific gene that you have, the presentation of the disease is going to be slightly different. A peds neurologist may not immediately even think Batten's disease.
And Brian and Beth, are you? How do you move forward? How do you move forward to make sure that Blake and Brett now can be healthy, normal little boys and play?
You know, we are together as a family, and I can tell you that, you know, they say that we are to inspire our children, but it's the complete opposite. We are inspired by our little boys, and Blake gives us hope every single day. We see that improvement every single day. We just keep moving forward together as a family, not only for us, but in the case of what we're doing here today, to raise the critical awareness is so important for not only this disease, but other families out there that might not be diagnosed. And so we keep moving forward and we just keep smiling, and their smiles just keep us going. And that's the amazing part of this.
And do you have to worry about other childhood illnesses and viruses and the school settings and the germs? Do you have to worry about those things specifically with this?
Brian, do you want to talk about how, or Beth, about how gene therapy, sort of the living situation and how you guys separated the boys?
Go ahead, Brian.
Sorry, what was the question again?
About sort of leading up to the clinical trial. I know that you had mentioned to me previously that in order to make sure that Blake wasn't exposed to anything, you kind of kept him a little bit protected.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's more of, you know, I mean, if you think, if your odds are 1 in 1,000,000 that Beth found each other, right? If there was a 1% chance that Blake would, you know, come in contact with a natural form of AAV9, right? We took a lot of precautions, right? But it wasn't necessarily that. It was also the fact that he just really wasn't thriving very well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, even with Brett being a candidate for the trial, you know, that's something that's always in the back of our minds.
And do you see this treatment as a cure? I shouldn't use that word. I know better.
I'm optimistic, hopefully optimistic. But one of the things that, you know, when we set out with the Charlotte and Gwyneth Gray Foundation, that we made it very clear from the beginning is that we're in uncharted territory. And so we don't know if this gene therapy will turn off in 10 years. We don't know whether it will start to wane, whether we'll uncover some non-central nervous system aspects of the disease that we have never encountered before because the kids are living longer. And so I mentioned in the beginning that we were taking this multifaceted approach. And so we have, even now, a number of different small molecules, RNA modulating compounds, stem cell treatments, pharmaceuticals, already FDA-approved drugs that we're offering in unique combinations. All that is still going on in our lab at Sanford. And so we keep these things going with the idea that, one, they may be added to patients that receive the gene therapy. So, for instance, one of the areas that we're focused on right now is that Brian and Beth saw this, the Grays have seen this, that if the children receive a high dose of steroids like prednisone, which they have to receive actually when they go into the gene therapy treatment, they actually see this period of heightened improvement of, you know, walking and talking. Gordon Gray tells this story about how his daughter Charlotte was to the point where her language had almost completely deteriorated. And it was post gene therapy treatment. He went to see her in Columbus in the hospital, and he walked in, and she was a big fan of the movie Frozen. And he said he was just standing there, and all of a sudden she just started belting out lyrics from one of the songs and singing along. And he was like, she hasn't spoken more than a single word at a time, and she's singing along to the song. So one of the areas that we're actually really focused on right now is neurosteroids or drug compounds that might modulate the immune system. So those could either be opportunities maybe for children that aren't in the gene therapy trial right now, so something that we could get them on immediately, and then also something that can be added with the gene therapy long term.
Okay. So work will continue.
Work studies. Is continuing. We don't sleep, and we keep going.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you all for taking time and coming on the program today. Beth and Brian, thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Jill Weimer, thanks as always for coming in and keeping us up to date on the latest. We appreciate it.
Thank you.